71 this evening. I mentioned on Sunday that we were going to begin a brand new series here on Wednesday evening. We finished up Psalm 37 a couple of weeks ago, and Brother Mark filled in last week, and I appreciate him doing that for me. And mentioned on Sunday we'd begin studying through Psalm 71. Not going to really be a study through the entirety of the psalm, but really looking at some things that I trust will be a blessing to you and a help to you. And the title for the series is the title that I'm going to use for the lesson this evening as an introductory lesson into this series. And it's simply this: the Lord is my dot, dot, dot. Because what He is to us is amazing. And He is our helper, He's our strength, He's our shield, He's our rock, He's our, you just keep going through all that He is to us. And we're going to study those things over the next several weeks. We're going to spend probably 12 to 15 or so weeks looking at various aspects of what God tells us in His Word concerning our relationship to Him. And I'm thankful that God has chosen to reveal Himself to mankind, aren't you? I'm thankful that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us through creation and also through the Bible. We understand that creation declares the glory of God. We read of that in Psalm 19, and we understand that it reveals that there is a Creator. But I want you to understand that all that we know about God does not come from the testimony of creation. I'm thankful for the testimony of creation, but oh, how grateful we are for the Bible, because it's through the Bible that God reveals to us His nature and His attributes. It is through the Bible that God reveals, declares for us the way of salvation. We find that it's through the Bible that God provides for us the details regarding the relationship between Him and His people. And I'm so thankful that He has given us the Bible so that we can understand who He is, and we can understand this evening, and we can praise the Lord and rejoice greatly for this understanding that our God is a personal God. He's a personal God. He's my God. And we begin to think about that each and every one of us can make that statement this evening by saying, He's my God. And He is. He's my helper, and He is. And we can look at all of these things, and we understand the personal relationship that we have with the Lord as a result of salvation. You know, you think about biblical Christianity and how it sets itself apart from so many of the world religions. There are so many people today that are lost, that are blinded, they're in darkness, and the deity to whom they think they serve is some distant deity that's angry with them, that they cannot approach, that you read of many of these that would serve these false gods, these cultures that have these polytheistic worldviews, and you find that they're missing this thing that we just sang about this evening, that God loves them. You know, our God is a personal God. And when we understand, as we look at this particular psalm in Psalm 71, we begin to understand the impact of this truth in the life of the psalmist. And I believe this evening that when we understand and we get a hold of the truth of God's Word, that our God is a personal God, that He's interested in us as individuals, that it will have a major impact upon my walk with Him. Because I understand that He's my God. And I have that personal relationship, that personal fellowship with Him. Notice with me in this psalm, I want you to note, first of all, if you're taking notes, the resolve of the psalmist. We see it in verse number one, the resolve of the psalmist. Notice what he says: "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." I think about this resolve of the psalmist to trust in the Lord. We find that this truth of the need for God's people to trust in Him is a recurring theme or thought throughout the Word of God. We find that God desires for His people to trust Him. We find that the psalmist makes this declaration. He reveals to us through the declaration that he is resolved that I'm going to trust in the Lord. You know, there are times in our lives where circumstances arise that difficulties will creep into your life, into my life, and we will be in a position in which our faith is tested. And somebody said this, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And I'm so thankful that our God is trustworthy, and I'm thankful that though the storm clouds may arise and though the difficulties may come, that we can say with the psalmist that we can have that resolve that I am trusting in the Lord. God knows. We find not only the resolve of the psalmist, but I want you to notice with me, number two, the rejoicing of the psalmist. I want you to look at a number of verses as we kind of make our way through this 71st Psalm, and I want you to see the rejoicing, the praising of the psalmist. Look at there in verse number 6. The Bible says this, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels." Notice this phrase at the end of verse number 6. "My praise shall be continually of thee." I love the way in which this verse captures the rejoicing of the psalmist, because the Bible says that my praise shall be continually of thee. And we find as we've walked with the Lord, as we have journeyed through life, that certainly there are days in which it's easier to rejoice than other days. We face certain experiences and circumstances, and there may be days that it just seems really easy to have a day of rejoicing. I mean, you just have that song in your heart, so to speak, and it just seems like everything's going well. But God wants us to rejoice always. Rejoice evermore. The Bible says that we're to rejoice always. Again, I say unto thee, rejoice. We find that the Bible tells us this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's the resolve, that determination that we understand who God is, and therefore it impacts me. I'm going to trust Him, but I'm also going to rejoice. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says this, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." He mentioned in verse number 6 about my praise shall be continually of thee. And now in verse number 8 he says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." We think about the importance again of this continual praising of the Lord. He says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise." Skip down and look at verse number 14, if you will. The Bible says this, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." Man, I begin to note the rejoicing of the psalmist throughout Psalm 71, and I find how that he's using this phraseology to speak about his rejoicing in the Lord and how he's praising the Lord. And he says there in verse number 14, and that I will yet praise thee more and more. We come to the place where we're understanding of who God is, and it leads us to this position of rejoicing and praising. And he says this in verse number 22. He says, "I will also praise thee with the psaltery." I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Notice again in verse 22, he says, "Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel." You know, when we sing, many times we can praise God through song. We lift up our voice in song and we're praising the Lord and we're singing the praises of our God. And we find that the psalmist here in verse number 22, he's already made this declaration. He's already revealed to us how he's rejoicing continually and all the day. And now he says that even through song, "I will praise thee with the psaltery. I will sing unto thee with the harp." Oh, I trust that God's given you a song. God's given you a song. And it's pretty exciting to just go through life and you go through a day and God just gives you a song. In our home, I think I've mentioned this before, but there are plenty of times in which it's happened where one of us will have a particular song, just kind of whistling or singing, maybe just a few words of the song, a chorus, whatever it might be. And before long, somebody else in the family begins to sing the same song. And as the kids have gotten older, if Brianna were the one that were singing the song to start and somebody else was, she said, "I got you to sing." And the reality is that, man, we just praise the Lord. We can praise Him through our song. So I don't sing real well. God wants to hear you sing. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." It is precious to God as we lift our voices in praise unto His name. Notice in verse number 23, notice what he says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. We've noted the resolve of the psalmist where he says, I will trust. He says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And I hope this evening that you and I, each and every one of us, would have that same level of resolve that I'm trusting the Lord. But I hope that we're rejoicing the way that the psalmist is. That we're rejoicing, that our praise would be continually, that it would be all the day, that we would praise Him yet more and more, that we should greatly rejoice even through song. But I want you to understand this evening that as we look at this portion of Scripture and as we deal with this subject over the next several weeks, we note the resolve and we note the rejoicing. But number three, I want you to consider what the psalmist recognized. Because I believe tonight that what the psalmist recognized that we're going to look at here in just a few moments, I believe that the resolve of the psalmist and the commitment of the psalmist to rejoice in the Lord are a direct result of what he recognized about his God, what he understood about his God. And as we look at this psalm this evening, it's just going to be an introductory lesson. We're just looking at what the psalmist is telling us here that is revealed to us about his understanding and his personal walk with the Lord. But I want you to see the impact that it has. And over the next several weeks, as we begin to study these particular things individually and spend an entire lesson on a Wednesday evening on each of these particular aspects of who God is to us, the Lord is my, even as I make that statement, some people probably fill in shepherd immediately because it's such a familiar verse of Scripture, but the Bible is full of statements that God gives us as who He is to us. And when we truly understand the nature of our fellowship and relationship with God, it will have a direct impact on how we trust Him. It will have a direct impact on how we praise Him. See, we understand that we ought to praise Him, but we find that our praise is going to be such as what the psalmist speaks of when I have an understanding of who He is. And not that He's just some far, beyond my reach, distant deity that's not personal. No, when I understand that He's my personal God, that He's interested in me as an individual, it will have a profound impact on my walk with Him. Notice what the psalmist recognizes just throughout this psalm. And again, we'll use this as a springboard into a series of messages. But notice with me, again he says in verse number 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Now pause there just for a moment. Notice the psalmist, he's praying. He's saying, I'm putting my trust in you in verse number 1, but he's praying for deliverance. We see it in verse 2. We see it in the beginning of verse number 3. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. But I want you to notice that at the end of verse number 3, what is it that leads the psalmist to have this trust and to have this praise? He says, for thou art, notice first, he says, my rock. My rock. The psalmist understood that the Lord God Almighty was his rock. He says this, and my fortress. Begin to think about the imagery that is painted through these terminologies that the psalmist is recognizing as to his relationship with his God. And we find that he says, thou art my rock and my fortress. All of a sudden, when you begin to understand that God is your rock, that God is your fortress, all of a sudden the enemy that's coming against you, the difficulty that you're praying for deliverance from, all of a sudden you have this level of trust and confidence and praise. Why? Because God is my rock. God is my fortress. Notice with me as you continue, he says, "For thou," in verse number 4, "deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." Notice verse 5, the third thing that he mentions, "For thou art my hope." I'm thankful for biblical hope. You think about the blessed hope we refer to when we talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to that as being the blessed hope. We read of that in the book of Titus. But we find here that the psalmist says, "For thou art my hope." So often today we hear the word hope used in an entirely different manner than what the biblical usage of the word is. Because the biblical usage of the word is having this confident expectation because of understanding who God is. So often when we hear, and even as we use the word hope today in our everyday language, it's this idea of wishful thinking. I hope this is going to happen. I hope that is going to happen. That's not biblical hope. It's a confident expectation. And he says, "Thou art my hope." Notice in verse number 5 again, he says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art," notice what he says, "my trust from my youth." You know, it's a good thing as we trust the Lord. The psalmist here, it's a psalm that's not given any particular title with regard to who the actual psalmist is. There's debate amongst theologians as to who the writer of this particular psalm may be, and I'm not going to enter the arena of debate, but I do understand as we look at this verse number 5 that the psalmist says, "I've been trusting the Lord from my youth." By the way, you know what happens? The more we trust God, the more we find that He's trustworthy. He's never going to fail you. It's a good thing for our children to set their hope in the Lord, to trust in the Lord. That's why we pray for the young people in our church. That's why we're excited about the generation to come. And as we read, and maybe you just want to turn over quickly to Psalm 78, maybe just a few pages over, and we'll be right back to Psalm 71. But I want you to see that the Bible tells us about that generation to come and how we are to instruct them and how we're to give them the truth. Why? So that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, according to verse number 7. And we find that it's the generation to come. And listen, as the psalmist is declaring here, he says, "Thou art my hope." I want the young people in our church to understand that God is our hope, and that they would say that God is their hope. That it's in God that we've put our trust, that He is my trust, and that we find that the psalmist says, "I've been trusting Him from my youth." What a great testimony. A powerful impact to young people for someone that's dealing. Listen, you understand that young people today are facing a whole host of things that we never even encountered. Seriously. The ideologies that they're being faced with, the crazy nonsense that's being pumped into their minds, everywhere you look, everything you're dealing with, you find they need to know that there's some people, some saints of God, that have been trusting God since their youth, and God has never failed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. They need to know. We find that the psalmist says, "Thou art my rock, thou art my fortress, thou art my hope, thou art my trust." Notice in verse number 6, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am," verse number 7, "as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge." So often we find that the psalmist will make the declaration that God is my refuge. But here he uses the phraseology, says, "Thou art my strong refuge." And we find that he mentions in verse number 17, and just two more quickly that he gives us here in this text of Scripture. Notice in verse number 17, he doesn't say it in the exact terminology that I'm going to use, but you'll understand it. It says in verse 17, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." I would say this, he recognizes God as my teacher. God is my teacher. He says, "For thou hast taught me from my youth." I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit of God is the divine teacher. And that we can say, God is my teacher. He's taught me His Word. The psalmist cries out. The psalmist requests, even as we mentioned this past Sunday morning, how the psalmist says, teach me Thy statutes, teach me Thy Word. This desire, this longing to be taught, it reveals that the psalmist had a love for God's Word. And we find that the psalmist now is saying, here in this text of Scripture, Thou hast taught me from my youth. He's my teacher. Notice, finally, as we look at this text of Scripture, the Bible says in verse 23, My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. I'd say it this way, He's my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. The time this evening does not permit us to get into each of these aspects of what the psalmist is declaring here and recognizing, understanding about who his God is to him. But I want you to understand that tonight, as we just kind of give an introductory lesson, an idea as to what we're going to study for the next several weeks, we can rejoice in all that God has revealed to us. We begin to think about the fact that God is He's my intercessor. He's my advocate. He's my great high priest. He's my forerunner. He's my strength. The songwriter said it this way, He's my all in all. That's a great way to summarize it, isn't it? He's my all, He's my everything. He's given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given me every single thing that I need. And we find that as we look at this psalm, and I hope that you'll go back tonight and this week and read through the 24 verses of Psalm 71, and I hope that as you read these verses of Scripture, that you note the resolve of the psalmist to trust the Lord. I hope that you note the rejoicing of the psalmist, but I hope you understand that both of those things are the direct result of what he understood, what he recognized about his relationship with his God. Our theme this year is Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Turn over to Psalm 48, if you will, and we'll close with this evening. In Psalm 48, we've been singing verses 1 and 2 as our theme song throughout the year. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is great, isn't he? And he is to be praised greatly. In the city of our God and the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known, verse 3, in her palaces for a refuge. Remember the psalmist said there in Psalm 71, He is my strong refuge. But I want you to understand, and I want you to skip all the way down to verse number 14. The Bible says, For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And I believe that as we would have the opportunity to recognize, just as the psalmist does in Psalm 71, who our God really is to us. The Lord is my... dot, dot, dot. We're going to fill in all these, study all of these aspects of who God is to us. And we understand that this God is our God. I hope that it has an impact in how we trust Him. I hope that it has an impact in how we praise Him. Because when I understand that He's my rock and my fortress, then in the time of adversity, in the time of the enemy, the wicked, I'm going to trust Him. Why? Because He's greater. He's my rock. He's my fortress. I'm going to praise Him because of who He is to me personally. The songwriter said this. It's hymn number 378 in our songbook. The song is Now I Belong to Jesus. Now I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me. Not for the time of years, or not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And I'm so thankful that our God, who is a great God, that He's my God. We spent time in the beginning in the month of January speaking about God being the Creator, and He is. It's important that we understand that. But we finished up that study of God being the Creator by saying that the Creator God is my helper. And when we understand that He spoke everything into existence and that His help is for me, He is my helper, and He's a very present help in the time of trouble, that He's available to help, that He's able to help, man, that just changes the course of my daily behavior. And somebody that was visiting with our church, as I preached those messages about the Creator God as our helper, somebody was visiting our church and sent me a card. It was a sweet card, and it said this. I'm not going to give you the details of what it said, actually, but it said basically this. Thank you so much for preaching the Word of God. I was dealing with something that was seeming so insignificant, but it was such a major thing. And as I was in the midst of dealing with that thing, I remembered your message. And I just prayed, God, you're the Creator. You created, you spoke all this into existence. I believe that you can handle this situation. And their testimony, I got the card on my desk, was that God answered and God worked, and it was the first time that they had experienced what they experienced on that night. That's the God that we serve. And when we make it personal, when we understand that He's my God, He's my helper, and so on and so forth, I hope that over the next several weeks, months, as we study this particular theme, this study, this topical study, that God will encourage us greatly, that God will help us to have greater resolve in trusting Him and praising Him. Let's pray together. Father, we do love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the truth of Thy Word. I thank You for the testimony of the psalmist this evening. And I pray that as over the next several weeks and months that we study this particular thought of who You are to us, God, I pray that it would have a profound impact on our daily walk. God, that we would understand that You are our all in all, that You're everything to us, that without You we can do nothing. Oh God, we're so thankful that You have chosen to reveal Yourself to us through Your Word. And I pray that it would have a profound impact in each and every individual's life, Lord, that we'd trust You more, that we would praise You more. Pray that You'd bless the time of prayer, that through all that's said and done, that You alone would be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening?